The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Brother Nash. Take your Bible, go back, if you will, and look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'm going to read it one more time, and then we'll have another word of prayer, and we'll get right into the message. Notice, if you will, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. I mean, just right there is shouting ground. Just the word saved is shouting ground. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come one more time, open the Bible, see truth that could change our lives forever. I do pray that you'll do exactly that. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. What is grace? Grace has been described as the unmerited favor of God. Grace is giving me what I do not deserve. Mercy is withholding from me that which I do deserve. Don't get them confused, okay? I do not deserve heaven. I get to go to heaven because of the grace of God. I do deserve hell. I'm not going to go to hell because of the mercy of God. Whenever you see mercy being dealt with in your Bible, it always has to do with judgment, wrath, or with the withholding thereof. Whenever you see grace dealt with in your Bible, it's always God giving you something nice, something good, something that you do not deserve. Now when we read the verse where it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and it says, for by grace, you understand it. It says, for by grace are you saved. Do I deserve to be saved? No. Do I deserve to go to heaven? No. Do I deserve the goodness of God? No, neither do you. But we get to go to heaven because of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. You don't merit it. You don't earn it. You don't try to achieve it. You don't get good enough to receive it. It's a gift. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are works? Works is somebody that will put on a baptismal robe. You got to work. You walk in there. You take off the clothes you have. You put on a baptismal robe. You zip it up. You walk up the steps. You get to the top of the baptismal area. You walk down the steps into the water. You take a deep breath because of the fear that's possessing your heart. You trust a Brother Wislowski, a Brother Bulkley, or somebody else, that once they take you down, they've got the common sense to bring you back up again. And then you get out of the baptistry, you walk up the steps, down the steps, into the changing room, take the wet garment off, dry off, put your clothes back on. Sounds like work to me. Sounds like work to me. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. He said, but I came to preach the gospel. Then he gives a description of the gospel. He says, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. If baptism is an essential part of salvation, why would a great man of God that preached salvation everywhere look at the people and say, I thank God I baptized none of you? Why would he thank God that anybody's going to go to hell? So baptism is not a part, even as Paul gave a description of what that which is salvation, of what that which is coming to Christ and the gospel. As he gives a description of the gospel, he says the gospel is. You can't get any clearer than that. He says the gospel is, point blank, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. Should every believer get baptized? Absolutely yes. Because baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. It's sort of like you're taking a picture, and now baptism is that which is the process of bringing the picture to light. It's the developing of the film. All right, so you take the picture, nobody sees it, picture receiving Christ, but then when you develop the film, you're showing everybody, this is what I did. It's an outward identification of an inward experience with Jesus Christ. You go to Walmart, how do you know the Walmart workers? They wear their little vest, and they're saying, I work at Walmart, okay? You go down to McDonald's, they wear a certain type of, okay, maybe you're on a football team, maybe some other type of athletic team. You wear something, a jersey, to identify you're part of the team. When somebody gets baptized, what they're doing is they're identifying that, hey, I'm a believer, part of the family of God now, not ashamed of it, not ashamed of it. So it's an outward expression of an inward experience. By the way, first command for the believer is to be baptized. So after a person gets saved, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to get baptized. Matter of fact, part of the Great Commission given to the local church and to the individual believer that's fulfilling the will of God in a local church to help fulfill that Great Commission is the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Subsequently, it's talking about giving them the gospel. Then it says baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Then it says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew 28. All right, so the Bible talks about how a part of the Great Commission, what is a church supposed to do? A church is supposed to give the gospel, a church is supposed to baptize believers, and a church is supposed to take those believers and to teach them. That's what a church is supposed to do. You say, I want to go to church where the music moves me. No, you ought to go to church where the doctrine moves you. A lot of churches, here's what they are. They're nothing but an emotional gathering, almost like a social club. Church ought not be that way. A church ought to be a place. Now, by the way, I'm for emotions. I have them. Can I tell you, my wife has them. I think sometimes ladies have them more than men. And by the way, aren't you glad about that? All right, now watch this though, but you understand this. You understand that the church is supposed to fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? You show them how to be saved. Those that do get saved, you help them to be obedient. They get baptized, first step, and then you teach them all things. You teach them all things through Sunday school. That's why Sunday school is important for you. You teach them all things through coming to a church service. You say, preacher, I'm not used to coming to all the services. It's a shock to my system. It needs to be a shock to your system. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more you come to church, the more you grow. Less you come to church, less you grow. Somebody says, well, I don't have the faith to believe God. Then that means you probably need to come to church more because God's going to build your faith. Every time you hear it, I don't like to eat just one time a week. I don't like to eat two times a week. I don't like to eat just three times a week. Matter of fact, I like to eat three times a day and more. All right? And so what do? I come to church. I don't come to church because I have to come. I come to church because I like to come. Well, I tell you what, I just feel like that I have to go to church. Well, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. I come to church because I like to come. I like to be around God's children. I like to be around believers that are God's children. I like to take and come to church, hear the old-fashioned singing. Man, I'm so glad we got a church where you can come, hear old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned singing, and we don't have to apologize for any of it. I'm glad that when you come to church, it doesn't remind you of a barroom brawl or a barroom, a type of coming. Hey, church ought to be different. Ought to be different. Ought to remind you of Jesus. Ought to remind you of God. Ought to remind you of truth. Ought to remind you of what is the right way to go. If you go to church and sometimes you don't get convicted, you're probably in the wrong church. You know, you need to go to a church where the preacher sometimes will step on your toe, sit in your lap, and spit in your eyeball and not apologize for it. When you come to church, are you listening to me? I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. I go out soul winning. Here's what I do. I was out soul winning the other day, and we was knocking doors, and we were out most of the day yesterday as normal. And then I'm knocking doors. I said, man, let me tell you where you need to come. Boy, let me tell you, man, we got a great church. Just remodeled the auditorium. It is super. God is working there. You need to come. And they were so excited because I was excited. Well, can I tell you, I'm not going to become unexcited because when I see that we're going right, doing right, preaching right, standing right, everybody needs to come. All right? And so let me give you some thoughts if I can. Here's what it says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. The Bible says, and he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. It says, with him also freely give us all things. He said, I delivered my son for you. For you. I delivered my son for you. By the way, even in the Old Testament, you read about Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace. Grace. He got unmerited favor from God. What was the unmerited favor? Unmerited favor is God, if you would please, gave him grace. What was the grace? Well, he was able to stay in the ark, dry. Everybody's drowning. No doubt when the flood water started to rise, maybe when it started to rain for the first time in history, people were knocking on the ark door wanting in. He's on the inside. He's dry. He's got his family with him. There was some joy there. When you're saved, there's joy there. When God shows you that once you're saved forever. The unmerited favor of God. Don't deserve heaven, but get to go. Why? Not because you're good, not because you've been baptized, not because you go to church, not because you keep one of the seven sacraments, not because you try and keep one of the Ten Commandments. It's by the grace of God. In God's economy, there's no wages that a person pays for a relationship. The wages that are paid for a relationship is already done. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So everybody can have grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, even when they were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So it's by grace that we're brought onto Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is a picture of a gift. Don't deserve it, get it anyway. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, and being justified by his grace, it says we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible said, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is the grace of God whereby we can go to heaven. Now, let me just give you a couple things, if I can, on how everyone needs this grace. Now, why do we need his grace? Statement number one, because grace is undeserved. It is completely undeserved. Nobody in here deserves to go to heaven. You get to go to heaven because of the grace of God. You get poochy lip disease, bottom lip sagging between the two big toes, you're walking out of here, you're down, you're discouraged, had a flat tire, wife and you had a spat, children not obeying. Listen, at least you're not going to burn in hell. You can thank God for his grace. Wife got up this morning, tried to cook you breakfast for the eighth time and burned it. You can smile. Why? The grace of God. Best friend broke up with you. You can smile. Grace of God. Nothing's going right in your life right now. Seems like you're in a financial valley. Everything is now in reverse. Hey, I'm telling you, you can rise above that. I'm saying God's grace is sufficient for you. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, the Bible says, but it says, go ye and learn what that meaneth. He said, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. He said, I've come to call the righteous, it says, not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Or what's he saying? He said, man, I've got something about salvation for you. Here Jesus is, of course, talking to the woman. Here's what he says in John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Jesus lifted up, it says, himself and saw a none but the woman and said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Listen to this. It says, hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's called grace. He could have said, let me tell you, I didn't forgive you. But he did. You know, once God forgives, you're forgiven forever. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, now to him that worketh, his reward is not reckoned of grace. Here's a man trying to work his way to heaven. He's getting baptized, got his shovel of works. He's getting baptized. He's reading his Bible. He's trying to be good. He's trying to help the neighbor. He's doing everything he can to get to heaven. And God said, I'm telling you, you keep working, you keep working, you keep working, but you're not getting any grace. Here's what he says. Now to him that worketh is his reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So here's a person trying to work their way to heaven. Man, they got that work shovel and they're working and they're working. God said, you're getting deeper and deeper in debt. They're working and they're working. You're getting deeper and deeper in debt. Now wait a minute. Watch the rest of the verses there. We're in Romans chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is his reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So you got a guy over here, he's working his way to heaven, going to get baptized, going to go to church, got to do it, just got to do it, just got to do it. Man, I've got to read that Bible because if I don't, I'm going to burn in hell. Just got to do it. Man, I've just got to do this. I've got to do it. God said, getting deeper and deeper in debt. Here's another guy over here. This guy over here, he said, I believe. God said, grace. Grace. See, you can try and work your way to heaven. You can try to believe. Are you listening to me? Once you do understand everything about believing and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this settles it forever. It's not a matter of working. It's a matter of receiving Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm telling you, according to the Bible, you're saved. You're saved. Preacher, am I saved? Only you know that. Have you done what you're supposed to do in receiving Christ? Wait a minute. Here's a person. Stay with me. Here's a person says this. I'm going to work. I've seen people say, hey, "Here's what I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior, and then I'm going to work. I'm going to get baptized, and then I'm going to work." And they go back and forth, back and forth. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. It's not two ways. It's not three ways. It's not four ways. It's one way. Amen. Once you receive Jesus as your Savior, saved forever. It's not a matter of working. Here's the problem, though. A lot of people think, here we go. You get saved by grace, and you're supposed to live. Live by grace. Now, if you're not careful, you'll take advantage of the gospel that did save you. Well, you know, I got saved. I don't need to come to church. Going to heaven anyway. Well, number one, when you come to church and you're faithful, it'll help you to grow. Number two, you're a testimony for someone. Testimony for somebody. Somebody will miss you. You're a testimony for someone. Okay, wait, here we go. Statement number one. Okay, because how is it that a person needs to understand grace. Why do we need grace? Because grace is undeserved. It is completely undeserved. You got what you deserve. I got what I deserve. We both wind up in hell. Years ago, I preached a message on grace in the nick of time. Grace is always right there in the nick of time. It's never late. It's never early. Stay with me. It's never late. It's never early. It's always in the nick of time. Dear God, I don't think I'm going to make it through. He says, don't forget, my grace is sufficient for you. But God, I just see I need grace right now. God says, I'll give you the teaspoon of grace when you need it. Only when you need it. Heard of people say, I have dying grace. Well, they mean by that, that means God has given them their teaspoon of grace right on time. Statement number one, okay, because it is that which is undeserved. Statement number two, grace is unearned. Look at it again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6:23, you know it well. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were over at Cheddar's a couple weeks ago. The Acostas was in one booth on one side of the wall. We were in a table. We like to eat out there in that open area. It's where we always try and eat when we go to Cheddar's. We were eating out there, and came time to pay the bill. And the Acostas that's in Louisiana right now visiting her mama, they were eating on the other side of the wall. We were eating out there in that open area, went to pay the bill, and it was already paid. I asked Brother Acosta, I said, why'd you do that? He said, it's called love. I said, well, thank you very much. He said, man, we just love your family. All right, now, wait a minute, watch this if you will. Now, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's unearned grace. Yeah, I didn't go over there and say, let me clean your table off. By the way, will you pay my bill? I didn't do it. It was unearned grace. Here's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, but also a free gift. If it says, through the offense, many be dead, much more the grace of God, it says the gift of grace, which is by, it says, one man, Jesus Christ, it says, hath abounded unto many. How many of you ever read the Bible verse, where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. You know, when problems come, disturbances come, never forget, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace. You can get the poochy lip disease. You can look down. You can be discouraged. But never forget His grace. See, if you go through life and you do not take advantage of the grace of God, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be pretty empty. Your whole life is going to be empty. But if you would take, help me out a little bit. If you would take, if you will, and you would simply allow God to be able to give you graces in your life. Come on up here. Example. By the way, God never runs out of grace. Never runs out of grace. All of a sudden, wait a minute, get a flat tire. But you look at God and say, God, I'm thankful. I'm just very thankful. By the way, grace always goes along with thankfulness. Always. They run hand in hand. Because of the grace of God, you're thankful. By the way, you'll be thankful for mercy too. But for the grace of God, you get what you don't deserve. All of a sudden, you get a flat tire. You're sitting on the side of the road. Here comes a church member. And instead of them waving at you as they go by, they stop. We ran out of gas years ago when I was in evangelism. I was going to preach at a church that we were heading to. I'll say the name of the church. And I was going to preach at a church outside of Baton Rouge. And pulled in there that night. I preached that night, gave the illustration. I was coming from Texas, a meeting in Texas, heading to Louisiana. My gas gauge didn't work, so I couldn't read it, ran out of gas. Had two of my children with me at that time, pulled off the side of the road, sent one down to the gas station to get gas, the other one I put behind the wheel. I was pushing my Suburban, big vehicle. I was pushing my Suburban, had my back against it, pushing it uphill. Now, it wasn't uphill, it was uphill. But I was pushing it uphill, getting off of the exit. My little boy, one going through the field trying to get gas or trying to get help for gas, other little boy sitting behind the wheel, pushing it off. I preached in a church the very next week, and I said, you know, I ran out of gas this past week. I was heading here, and probably it was one of you that waved at me when you went by. Lady came up after church. She said, you saw me? All of a sudden, you have a breakdown, and somebody stops. They help you with your tire, help you with your gas. It's called God's grace. Somebody stops you in the hallway, says, I just want to thank you. Man, you've been such a blessing to me. That's called God's grace. Mrs. Crutcher did an outstanding job speaking at our ladies' banquet just last night. Wait a minute. I had several ladies come up to me and say, I needed that. I needed that. You know what that was? That was grace sent in the nick of time. Jeremiah lays in the hospital today, sometimes having sad moments in his life, been there for 3 weeks. All of a sudden, somebody shows up, somebody goes in, says, I want you to know, been praying for you, I love you, I'm here for you. It's called grace of God. All of a sudden, you pull up at a gas station, you don't have your credit card. Man, you forgot it, you're discouraged, don't have any money in your wallet, and you get back in the car praying that God will stretch the fumes. Somebody else pulls up beside you, said, man, I love you. I've always wanted to do something neat for you. They fill your tank up. It's called grace of God. Somebody remembers you on your birthday. Grace of God. Somebody sends you out on a paid date. With your wife. It's called grace of God. Your children decide, without being told, they're going to mow the lawn. Okay, wait. Yeah. Mow the lawn. Brother Palmore said you need more for that one. All of a sudden, children decide they're going to do the laundry in the house. Not told, they just love you. They just love you. All of a sudden, a child decides, I'm going to fix you breakfast in bed. Your wife meets you at the door. She says, honey, I've been saving up for a long time. And I've got something special planned tonight. I know your favorite restaurant. Got it all planned out, just for you and me. And so she's got it all lined up. Grace of God. Husband comes home, not grumpy, smiling. First time in his life, but he did it. Grace of God. All of a sudden, your neighbor comes over and says, hey, look, been thinking about you. Just baked you a brand new cake. It's not old. It's not something the kids have eaten half of, and I covered it up with icing. Grace of God. You get out there in the parking lot, and all of a sudden somebody rolls up beside you and says, man, we'll take you lunch today. Grace of God. Teenager waits till you get through the door. He doesn't rush out impolitely, opens the door for you and holds it until your body gets through. Grace of God. Husband takes you out on a date, pulls the chair out, wait till your body sits in it, and then pushes it under the table. Grace of God. Wife takes and she comes and she says, honey, you're the best man a wife could ever have. Grace of God. All of a sudden the wife comes in and says, I'll tell you what, sweetheart. Or the husband comes in and says, I'll tell you what, honeydew. I love you. We're going to take a trip. Grace of God. Great. I'm talking about unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Your friend says, I know you, but I'm still your friend. Grace of God. Man, I know that pastor, he makes mistakes, but I still want him as my pastor. Grace of God. Come on. Man, you get all this grace just coming in. Just dropping in. And I'll tell you what, the more grace you get, the more happier you get. More grace, are you ready? More grace you get, sweeter you get. More grace you get, less sourful you are. You ever get around somebody that's sour? I said, if you squeeze somebody real hard, you'll find out what they really are. You squeeze somebody that's bitter, bitterness comes out, was already in there. The pressure just made it come out, revealed the human that they really are. You squeeze somebody and they have forgiveness, forgiveness will come out. It's just revealing what's already in the heart. You squeeze somebody and sweetness comes out, they're just revealing who they really are. Okay? So you squeeze somebody, it's full of grace. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get unmerited favor from that person. They're going to love you, forgive you, help you, walk beside you, believe in you, encourage you. There's nothing but sweetness about that person. By the way, if you're saved today, you have the grace of God. You can take and be sweet to somebody, helpful to somebody, forgiving to somebody, encouragement to somebody, motivational to somebody. When somebody gets around you, you ought to just remind them of the very grace of God. Oh, watch this. Here we go. So grace, thank you, be seated. So grace, if you will, is undeserved. Grace is unearned. Let me give you this. A grace is unrepayable. You know, when somebody gives you grace, they don't expect anything in return. Nothing in return. You know, you can love somebody without somebody loving you. You can encourage somebody without receiving encouragement from them. We live in a very ungrateful, ungrateful, self-centered society. Well, you know, they should do this for me. What about you doing it for them? Well, I deserve, I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve hell. Anything above hell is a brownie point for you. Well, you know, they hurt my feelings. Get your feelings out of the way. Well, you know, they stepped on my toe. Move your toe. Here it is. Because of grace, it's unrepayable. I'll read it one more time. I'm done. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Listen to me, Shabbat. It's not conditional. I'll forgive you if you forgive me. I will love you if you love me. I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. I won't talk about you if you won't talk about me. I won't be short-tempered to you if you're not short-tempered to me. You provoked me. No. Grace, it's always sweet. It's always undeserved. It's always a delight. Here's what y'all do. Next time you're almost ready to lose your temper with your husband, here's what you do. Husband comes in, you're about ready to let him have it. Matter of fact, you've been planning it all day. You're counting down, he's walking through the doors at 4:05. Walking through the door. Like Brother Wislowski, always on time, never late. 4:05, walk through the door. You're sitting there as a wife and you say, okay, he's got one more minute. You're going over it in your head. This is how I'm going to get him. When he walks in, why don't you just do this? Just say, grace. Instead of chewing him out, just say, grace. Grace. He comes in, and all of a sudden he's mad. Instead of you responding, just say, grace. Hello. You could even say this. I would like to tell you what I think, but grace. If I wanted to, I would want to chew your head off too, but grace. That is a part of the Christian life. You know, I would like to tell you what I think about so-and-so, but grace. Part of the Christian life. Okay? So grace is unrepayable. You can't repay it. You can't repay it. Watch this. Somebody comes up to me and they're critical about someone else. Here's what I always do. You know, I sure do like that person. You know, I think they're good people. You know what that does? It shuts it down cold. What are they going to say to that? Well, let me tell. They ain't going to say nothing. They can't say anything. Why? Because you have given so much grace. Look. Did you ever eat so much sugar that it makes you sick? 20 years ago, I became allergic to sugar. I don't know why God did that. But it's there. My children, when I first became allergic to sugar, the candy bars would be melt. They place it in front of my nose, say, Dad, don't you miss it? Evil, evil. No grace that day. Okay, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Okay? Came allergic to sugar, the white refined sugar over 20 years ago. White refined. Can't have it. Throat would swell up, tongue swells, fingers swell. I look like a fish that's walking. Terrible stuff. I thought, man, God, why didn't you make me allergic to salt, hot sauce, sugar? Okay, so allergic to sugar. If I eat this, I'm going to be in trouble. It's going to swell me up. By the way, if you eat a lot of sugar, it will swell you up too. Okay, we won't go there. But when you eat sugar, here's what it does. You get the sweetness inside of you. If you eat enough of it, it changes the way that you taste things afterwards. Sugar will change your taste buds. Well, I don't see how come you're not getting mad. Don't you understand? I do. It's called grace. It's called grace. Why aren't you getting even? Grace. Well, I can't believe you got a wife, and why are you putting up with her that way? Grace. Well, did you see that person, grace. The more grace you put in your life, the more colorful you are, the sweeter you are, the less room there is for criticism, the less room there is for seeing the errors in everybody else's life. The sweeter you are when things go wrong in your life, your outlook changes, you're brighter, you're happier, you have more energy, all because grace. I want to ask you, do you have the grace of God in your life?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.